I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
I'm John DeSando.
This is Cinema Classics.
Yes, it is.
Summer movie season is officially underway. Uh-huh. We did our previews. We got that out of the way.
Yeah.
So one of the big movies that was supposed to bring people back to theaters was A Quiet Place 2.
And I think this is the kind of movie you can bring somebody who says, I don't like horror films. Come on, just see this. One that appeals to a broader range of people than any horror film that I can think of. And because it has a very unique conceit.
Make a noise and you're dead.
Exactly.
Right? It is a beautiful conceit, especially for the theatrical experience. One of the things I loved about the first movie, the theatrical experience of the silence. When the characters are required to be quiet.
Yes.
Because their survival depends on it.
Yes.
Then, by necessity, the movie is quiet.
Yes.
And by extension further, the audience must be quiet. And what I noticed seeing that movie was how intensely quiet the theater was.
Yes.
Any little rustling of a popcorn bag or crunching of a plastic lid was cacophonous. And it was like really great. It was just a great, you know, because movie lovers like ourselves are always, pleading with the people that we go to the theater with and the people we're sitting next to be quiet. A Quiet Place is literally that. It's the theater.
I'm so obsessed with not missing a line that I have closed caption when I watch it anywhere just to make sure. So here's one without it. So how do I respond?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I make at least one snarky comment about smartphones. And oh my gosh, these people can't talk on phones. Here we are, all quiet. So that to me is interesting. And it's also interesting to me that in both iterations, it's successful. The aliens are going to eat you up if you make a noise.
Right.
Little kid in the first one makes a noise with his toy.
Mm-hmm.
Kid no longer is in the film. So that carries through.
Did you like the second one?
I didn't like it as much as I liked the first one.
Oh, I was supremely disappointed in the second one.
Yeah.
John Krasinski obviously directed and starred in the first one. His character is, spoiler alert, no longer in the second one. But we do see him in a flashback. I just thought that was the strongest part of the movie.
That's a good point.
The mini prequel that we get to the first film seemed like a few loosely strung together vignettes.
I think you're right.
With the through line being that the deaf daughter was just as brave as dad or just as resourceful as dad. Was not really a whole lot of story there.
And you get more monsters, which to me is less exciting.
The monsters are in a way a kind of MacGuffin. As you said, the conceit is what's really suspenseful. The making of the noise.
That's right.
Not what comes to prey upon the noise. That could be anything.
That's right.
It's the making of the noise is the thing that you're trying to avoid.
I'm yelling, no, I don't want to see the monsters. Please, not.
They're just terrible design. The design is terrible.
Like some kind of hybrid of alien.
Or, I don't know what it is. Long arms, like indistinct.
The idea that you brought up about the little girl who is deaf is also a nice part of this. You're going to be superior if you can't hear.
Although, and then it comes with the tension added, though, that you might make a noise that you can't hear. Conflict, where you can't hear, which helps, but also you might produce a sound that you're unaware of.
The concept of family, preserving the family, of saving the family, which is so prevalent in most of our films, particularly our action films and our Marvel-like films. It always seems to be somehow you're trying to find your family again is emphasized here. Your survival depends upon how well the family works together.
Exactly. And I think maybe that's where Krasinski tripped up. The first film, what's really beautiful about it is the dynamic of the father and the mother.
Yes.
And how they're working in tandem to keep these kids safe, even when she is going to give birth, which is a brilliant conceit because you know giving birth is loud. There's a lot, there's a pain involved in it that requires vocalization. And so that movie comes with a built-in set of reality tensions, but also what's missing, that dynamic of the family.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you got the mom who's trying to hold everything together.
The same theme happens in The Heights. You've got Jimmy Smith giving up his business for his daughter to go to Stanford. But it is the sacrifices that parents make.
But the real lesson from the movie is that we could all stand to be a little more quiet.
Even Cinema Classics?
Yes. Cinema Classics is sponsored by the Gateway Film Center and is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to shows online at WCVE.org.